Hey guys, welcome back to Book Talk Made Me, the podcast where we're talking about all your favorite books from Book Talk, Bookstagram. You know the deal. You got a good book, we're going to talk about it, baby. And today, we're here to talk about one of the books that brought us really together. I think it's the one we started diving into. And if you've been a longtime listener, you probably know what it is because we're talking Zodiac Academy. And why are we talking Zodiac Academy? Because book
nine?
Ten? It feels like it's ten.
It's technically book nine, but they have like all these other supplemental books that it's like book 10 of 12, but it's really, it's book nine.
It's book nine, which means we have read nine plus books of this series, and we have loved, we have literally cried about it, we have hated, we've all the emotions have spanned this book for us. Like, I've sat in the shower like contemplating life, like, why am I reading this book?
I have like snorted laughing in my bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning reading certain scenes because it's just so funny.
Yeah, like truly just the breadth of human emotions this book has made us feel. And it's finally coming to an end. So we wanted to get together to have a little talkie about it. Because, you know, you got me, you got Hilda, you got Bridget. Gang's all here.
And you know we like to talk.
Right. And, you know, we didn't learn our lesson from HoFast where we just like, here's all the predictions and Hinge theories and things we're going to think happened. So we're doing it again. Of course.
We really love to set ourselves up for success here.
Correct.
And disappointment. And disappointment for sure.
Now, we have all nine episodes. They're back in the archives. I'm thinking 2021, 2022. Was there a 2023? 2023. I mean, truly, all of them through all
what
the years.
What year is it?
I don't know.
I keep thinking it's 2023, but apparently it's 2024.
It's 2024.
However, if you go onto Spotify and you're listening it through there, you can just search Zodiac Academy in that little search bar at the top of our page that says search in the show, and it will pull up all the Zodiac Academy episodes.
Nice. I think Apple may be a little more cumbersome. You may have to search for them, but they're there. I don't know if we can link them. We'll try to figure it out. All of them are there, and I don't remember which book made my wine goggles made an appearance at my wine glasses because we were so unhinged from reading so many books.
It was either
after books for book nine.
Oh yeah, let's get that.
Yeah, I have them.
Either
someone take a note. No, for the rest of us.
Oh yeah, you guys should all get the wine goggles.
She's like, I have them. What about me?
I think as I said in that episode, you're gonna take like several sips before wine actually hits your mouth because it's got to go such a long distance. So it's a little bit of a unique experience. And if you're wondering, like, wine goggles, what the heck are you talking about? We're talking about those straws that, like, I would stick into a wine glass. I think I use a cup just to keep things, you know, easier. And then the straw does two loop-de-loops right on your eyes. So you wear them like goggles. And then it goes into your mouth. So it's a long apparatus to get the wine into your mouth. But it does look insanely fun as you see the wine swoop, swoop, swoop. From each eye to your mouth.
It is very funny to watch.
Yeah, we were very unhinged that episode because I think we're like, we've made it.
I think this upcoming episode for nine is going to be wild.
I don't know. And you know, I have to give credit to some of our listeners. I think at least one of them has an arc and I am jelly, homegirl, jelly.
So jealous.
Because I did try to enter one and probably we could have done a better concerted effort as a group. But we didn't.
To try it. No, we didn't.
A lot's been going on in our lives in the past semester. Past quarter, I guess I should say.
And I've tried not to go onto the Facebook group just because, I don't know, I'm trying – this is how I'm avoiding the HoFast things. Like, I'm not trying to work myself up.
Me too. I have ignored it completely. I turned off my notifications for the group because I just kept lurking. And I was like, what's going to happen? I want to see about the arcs. And then I just can't set myself up for failure like that.
Now,
as
let's
I
talk
say,
about
I'm about
feelings.
To do predictions.
Yeah. Let's talk about thoughts and feelings as because I feel like this is the perfect segue. How are we feeling as this book comes to an end? Now, we've said this probably three times at least because three times we thought we were getting an ending, a conclusion, and then the series extended, which we had definite thoughts and feelings about. But now this is the final book in this series. And
so they say.
So they say. And I gotta say, my feelings are mixed a bit on this.
I think they are going to wrap it up. I'm ready for them to wrap it up, but I'm also not ready for them to wrap it up because I don't know if I'm ready to say goodbye to these characters just because they were such an important part of my life, especially through the like COVID drama. And like, am I really ready to never read Salacious Salamander again?
Yeah.
Or something, you know, like Jerry and all her unhinged crap. I think I'm going to cry. And like, no more Lance O'Brien.
I know.
I don't know if I can deal with that.
See, you're sentimental. In my notes, I was like, you know, it might be ending, but the characters will be with us forever. Like, maybe I'll get like a Nas tattoo of a dragon or a snakelet or something. Like, they're with me forever. We're ride or die here.
I mean, yeah, but
we're ride or die.
Ride or die.
The fact, I don't know, that we're not going to get new things. And yeah, like, Darkmoor still needs to end, so we may get some like Easter eggs. But yeah, no, I'm not processing this well.
You know, it's funny you say that, how it's been with us for so long. Because when you think of the span of a book life, it really hasn't been out in the market for that long. But it's truly been with us through some momentous occasions. We've got COVID, you know, like a global pandemic. I remember reading, and I think it was Ruthless Boys, so I'll give it some credit. But I remember you were reading
book six.
Right.
When you were going into labor.
Pregnant, yeah. And going into labor and reading all about all this and like navigating postpartum emotions when we're feeling some pretty heavy emotions that are happening within this book. So it's been with us through some periods in our lives. And yeah. I have feelings on it ending. I'm excited for conclusion, but I'm also nervous in a way. Like, 'cause you really wanted to wrap up so well. And I hope the wrap up is done in a similar fashion to the wrap up of Ruthless Boys, where you had a very satisfying conclusion.
Unlike the epilogues with all the
epilogues on epilogues on epilogues.
Which I really appreciated those. And it further reinforced like the happily ever after.
See, I am excited the series is ending, but I'm scared because even though I know that these authors write happily ever afters into their series, how much more trauma are they going to hit us with in those?
Oh, absolutely. Pages.
They're gonna hit us with some trauma.
Yeah.
There's 1,200 pages. What is it? 1,276 pages?
Exactly. I don't know how much more trauma I can handle in my life right now.
Like, honestly, at this point, it's not even like I've shut down. I'm not processing that trauma anymore. It's more of like, what else are they gonna throw at us? Like, what other unhinged thing can they do to us? Like, at this point, it's just a competition.
What's going to be the worst of the worst?
Yeah.
I still think about Tori and Darius's divine moment. Still think about that. I know it's not the most traumatic thing, but like emotionally for me at that time, I was like, oh my God.
Oh God, it was brutal. The denial of it was brutal. Darius's death. Brutal. Oh, spoiler. I mean, I don't know if it's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler at this point. It's like, been like a year since it came out.
If you were listening to this episode, like, do we really need to give you a spoiler warning?
Yes, because they're still going to complain about it. Hi, hello, welcome to Book Talk Made Me, the podcast where we talk about all the books and spoil them for you. If you have not read Zodiac Academy, books 1 through 100, whatever that they have currently coming out or came out with, please do not proceed. Or with if caution. You have and don't remember,
find proceed your with exits. Caution. That was your flight attendant voice.
Proceed to the exits out prepare the fuck out departure. Of this podcast.
Yeah. Prepare for departure because homegirls and boys, which we're letting it all out. So there's your warning and a spoiler. 11 minutes in case you're wondering at what point you're going to get spoiled.
The real spoiler here, if you thought that was a spoiler, is that he lives.
True. He's back. Another divine moment we talked about, the denial.
Did anybody think he wouldn't come back?
I don't know. It seemed pretty final.
See, in my head, as a romance reader, I was like, he's coming back. But they did such a good job of playing up his grief that I was like, maybe he's not coming back.
Even when he died and he met his parents in the beyond, they were grieving that he was there. And I was like, I cannot.
They made us take this on. They really made us suffer. They really made us suffer.
That was like 30 to 40% of that last book that we read, Sorrow and
Beyond
Starlight.
Beyond the Veil. Oh, well, Sorrow and Starlight?
Both of them. That was the bridging novel. Mm-hmm. And the one before that, when everybody was finding out he was dead, that was like 40% of the book. It was everyone mourning his death.
Brutal. Every single time they found out.
I told you the first 20% of that book, I was so depressed. I was so
I couldn't make it. Depressed. I pulled a Hilda and I searched his name to make sure that he came back alive.
You know, Bridget, I did that once. I did that once.
I did it once. Was ever not, immoralized.
And once was good enough for it to be a Hilda. You have to have something that like I need to bug you about, considering I'm the originator of Oath Thesus.
I love Thesus.
Now I think we've talked about our thoughts and feelings and our love for Thesus. Let's get into previously on. So Bridget, you did a fantastic job of kind of catching us up without going into too much of a deep dive.
Right. So I'm going to just say it right now. If you want a better recap, a deep dive of what really happened in the last book, we have an entire 2 episodes dedicated to this book. So go check it out. But my recap right now is basically giving you, at the end of this book, here are where all our characters are. So at the end of the last book, which was Zodiac Academy, Sorrow and Starlight, right?
Yeah, it was book 8, Sorrow and Starlight.
Our castmates. Where is Geraldine? Geraldine is alive. Hooray. And I say it like that because some people are not alive. And her maxi boy is her slippery salmon. The salacious salamander, whatever she's feeling to call him that day, they are together.
Salty finally. Sea bags, whatever she may call him.
The sea urchins, like all the things, all the sea things.
Her garden is quivering for him, whatever it may be.
Her petunia.
Her petunia. Oh,
he's
God,
watering a petunia garden.
Her petunia.
I love that woman. Xavier, also alive. At the beginning of the book, he had lost his wings and he was able to regrow them. He also is the dom of his herd. Is it a herd for the Pegasus?
Yeah. Yeah, they're herds.
And he has Sophia and his Frosted Tips lover boy. I don't remember his name.
Oh, what is his name?
Oh my God.
You know, before I figure out his name, I'm surprised you didn't mention his Jacob's Ladder. Like, this is his most notable trait.
Yeah, but it wasn't in this book. It was in the book before.
Yeah, you got it in book 7.
I think it's going to make a comeback.
Oh, my God.
The Jacob's Ladder?
The fact that I can't remember his name is really bothering
me. Yeah, I think they'll mention it again. I feel like his name was very, like, white boy name. Like
Ethan?
Steven. Ethan. No.
And I have a very specific image in my head for what this guy looks like, and I always see the Frosted Tips.
Like, it's
with
an S.
Hold on. Oh my God. Keep going.
It's okay. While she's looking it up, we have Francesca. We would like to formally apologize to Francesca and anyone that is a Francesca fan, because we called you a plot point and now you're a dead plot point. But we still felt bad about it.
The grief.
Okay, so I was actually really sad about her dying.
No, we were. We were worried about her sacrifice.
We were legitimate.
You're a plot point, but you're a dead plot point.
Clearly we handle our emotions by making jokes here.
Death, we're giving you shade. I apologize.
And then we have Stella. That bitch is dead. She is gone. She sacrificed herself to break Lance's curse. The curse that Lavinia had on Lance. She finally did something right. She
a
stepped
good redemption
up to be,
arc, I would say.
She's not the mom of the year.
Nope.
Not even the mom of the century. She just stepped up to be a mom and gave something for her child. So good job,
Tyler.
Stella.
Tyler Corbin.
Tyler.
Told you, basic Corbin. White boy name.
It was a white boy name.
Tyler.
So Xavier Frosted Tips boy toy. Well, actually.
Absolutely Frosted Tips. Tyler Corbin? He's like
his
an insane
name
wannabe.
Is Tyler oh my God.
He could have been a member of NSYNC.
For sure.
That's exactly who I picture.
Like, remember the MTV boy band Together? That's Tyler Corbin.
He's so funny. So Stella's dead. We're moving on from her. The counselors, which are all the heirs' parents, minus Lionel, they all have been living with the rebels the past couple months to year. I don't remember how long this book had lasted. But at the end of the book, they had bent the knee to the true queens, aka the Vega twins. That sounds right, right? They did that.
They showed up.
Okay. So then we have Seth and Caleb, the two heirs, who are friends with everybody else. They are still alive, and they are still cock-blocking each other and pretending like they don't love each other.
They did have a hookup session, though.
But only one out of, like, 100 books?
Yeah, no, they're still in denial. They're still in denial about their feelings.
Right.
Even though they've officially hooked up.
Is it
bad? Are they 100% in feels? But they're like 90% in feels.
They're like 90. I don't know.
They're right at the cusp. We're at the tipping point.
They just need to grow a pair and just confess.
Between the two of them, they have two. They have more pairs than any woman, and yet they
just gotta get past the tip. You know, past the tip to see how it feels, which they did. But they need to get past the relationship tip.
Good one.
Thank you.
They need to grow up.
Yes. In so many words, yes.
And then we have Max. We already said Jerry has made him her little bitch. So we're happy for them.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
But he's happy to be there.
He is. He's happy to be bending the knee for someone other than his queen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We're happy there. Let's see who's after Max. We have Darius, the boy who lived, not to be confused with Harry Potter, but he did indeed live. And now he shares a heartbeat with Tori because she went across the veil, beyond the veil, I guess you should say, and dragged his ass back to the human world.
I was going to say in my head, I'm like, she pulled his ass out. And you're like, he dragged his ass. I'm like, absolutely. Same ass has been all over the place.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. And then we have Lance. He is officially free from Lavinia's curse thanks to his mother, Stella. And he still has mommy issues, though. So it is what
rightfully,
it is.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. That was like years of trauma from that mama. Yeah. And then we have Gabe. He escaped with his sister, Darcy, and brother-in-law, Lance, and he is quote-unquote safe. Yeah. Reunited with his lovely pack of...
I'm just remembering in book 8 when Leon's like, I found the prettiest stick, and so we're going to build a nest so that the only thing Gabe can focus on is the nest.
And it worked. It worked. You know what?
He's and a lovable like, idiot, but he's right on the money every time.
And everybody was like, you're so stupid. He's like, no, we're going to make the best nest ever. And then
I like that everyone's like, you're so stupid, but we're still going to go along with it because you're right.
Yeah, we're going to grumble about it, but also like, that's a great ass stick up there. Can you please grab that one for me?
And then towards the end of the book, Gabe, don't call me Gabe, is like, this is such a pretty stick. I'm going to give it to my wife.
I know.
So, he's like, I'm sorry. Stick. I'm laughing so he's hard. Squirrel, I'm crying.
But like, stick.
He's like a dog with a bone.
Yep.
Dog bone. So that's where Gabe has been. We have Tori, who is now officially recognized as the queen between the heirs, the counselors, and of course, all of the rebels. But then she got captured by Clidinius.
Clidinius.
Mm-hmm.
Who the authors call him Clyde. So if we say Clyde, that's who we mean. Darcy's in the same exact boat. So they're locked up in this Doom's Cave dungeon thing. And then Clyde, who is, for anyone who does not know, Clyde / Clidinius, not to be mixed up with Clitoris or something. He is the fallen star that once made a deal with Tori and Darcy's ancestor. He gave them the Imperial Star, and they were supposed to return it as part of the bargain and then make him a Fae. But they did not. So that was the unbreakable vow.
The broken promise.
Yes. That everyone kept talking about for like the entire series. And then that's how the twins' family line became cursed. And then yada, yada, yada. He comes back into play. He ends up capturing the girls and is pretending to be them at the end of this book. So he's like the old new villain, the new old villain. Like, we didn't know about him, but he's been making the move since way back in the day.
Yeah, there's like a lot of
there's three villains, three baddies we gotta worry about.
They're not even baddies because like a baddie is a 10.
Correct. These are just like these are bad guys.
Bad guys.
Straight up bad guys.
You have like the level boss, and then you have the final game boss. And honestly, at this point, I don't. Who's the final game boss? Is it Lavinia or is it Clidinius?
I think it's Clidinius.
I love that Lionel's not even in the equation, which I agree with. I'm just saying. He's a little bitch. That he's not. He is. He's a little bitch boy.
Lame Lionel.
The Zodiac Stones. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Zodiac Stones. They still need to find them. They have like half of them.
Right.
They're around.
What's happening with that?
We've been collecting them the past couple of books. We don't really know what is going to come of it. But it's important. Washer still pervy.
Oh, love. I kind of love him.
Still kind of love him. Well, you guys love him. I don't love him.
He's our pervy uncle.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't even like the pervy uncle because like why is it acceptable for your uncle to be pervy?
I get it. I get it.
It's not.
Exactly. But you know, it is what it is. And then we have Lionel. Fuck that guy. He's still alive.
He's actually my uncle too. So if it was my uncle, it would be worse. No, if it was actually my uncle, it would be worse. But he's not.
Yeah, but anyhow. And then you have Lavinia who's still alive as well. And then they have like some shadow baby thing that's still in play named Therix.
Okay, I kept calling him Therinx in my head, like your throat.
So I did too. I was like, is it Larynx? Is it Therinx? Is it Thor? I know there's an X in the name.
And so I looked it up. It's Tharix.
Therinx.
Yeah, was right. Therinx.
No N.
There's no N. Oh. Therinx.
Therinx. Oh, okay. Not your throat. Got it. Right. Yes, thank you. Your windpipe. That would be your esophagus, would be your throat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Baby bios get a little mixed up. That was an 8 a.m. class that I skipped most of in college.
Oh, me too. I'm surprised I even passed that class.
Oh, I just studied like the day of the little baby quiz we had to take because it was baby bios. So we had baby quizzes.
And that's when they had like the clicker. So that's how they did attendance because the class was so big.
Click in. I would give my clicker to someone else. I'm like, please click me in.
Me too.
I wonder if they still do that in college. If anyone's in listening and they're in college in the United States, do you still have to click in for attendance? I have to know.
I never had to click in for those huge classes.
You had like this weird little remote you had to go buy at like the bookstore.
Well, it was like because you had to grade attendance and that's randomly throughout the week. They'll be like, okay, now's your quiz. So like you had to like participate in the quiz, but it was just for attendance to show that you were there. So everyone had like a clicker and they just like beep.
Yeah. It kind of would look like the remote that you would like control your fan with. Almost like it's this really small little.
It's small enough to fit in the front pocket of your JanSport book bag. You can have like five of them up in there.
Really specific.
Because I have a JanSport book bag.
Okay.
That I still use.
I saw that on your trip when you traveled, and I'm like, ooh, we are rocking a vintage JanSport.
I mean, everything comes back in style, and it fit everything that I need to fit, and it's over 10 years old.
Every time we go to Disney, I still use the North Face backpack I got in college. Every time.
Look, and sometimes you just need memories of like the good old days.
Yeah. Like this is my we're roughing it. We're going to Disney World. I need all the pouches, all the cords, all the things.
Okay. Let's get back to Therinx.
Not Therinx.
He's alive.
I could have sworn there was an N in there too.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk predictions.
If I didn't look up it like 2 seconds ago, I would have been like, yeah, it's Therinx. Let's talk predictions. Can I go? Because mine are just like unhinged and I feel like
take the lead.
A little better. Okay.
Okay.
So I wrote them in order of how I think things might go down for the first three. Lavinia kills Lionel. Shadow Baby kills Lavinia. Shadow Beast kills Shadow Baby.
I like this. I like this. One more time.
Lavinia kills Lionel.
Okay.
That's the first.
Uh-huh. Love that. I like
Shadow
that.
Shadow Baby
like that.
Kills Lavinia. So Shadow Baby is mother is Therinx. Lavinia. And
Therinx. Right.
Yeah. So Therinx kills Lavinia. Now
and
the Shadow Beast, who was formerly in
but
Darcy.
Now a good dog. Good little puppy.
Right. Good. But he beast out to save her. I think he's going to kill the shadow baby.
Oh, or I like that.
Eric's, you know.
Shadow on shadow. Okay.
Unhinged.
I like that. It's not that unhinged. I kind of am here for that.
I mean, but everyone thinks, like, Darius is going to kill Lionel. So, like, let's do something stupid.
We're giving that
death. That's so stupid. I like, but you know what? Different.
It's the okay, let's do sisters. Something different.
It's why not? Why the fuck not? Would Linnea get tired up? You know what's unhinged? Lavinia gets tired of Lionel's ass. And she's like, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck all of y'all. I'm killing this motherfucker. And then – everyone's
see,
like,
I actually think that she would, on a normal basis, kill. Oh my God. Did I get louder?
Not used to having it so close to you.
I know.
You're really worked up about this.
Because I would think 100% that Lionel is going to be killed by Lavinia, like on a normal day.
It would be sweet justice, honestly. I would be here for that.
I mean, I would really want Darius to get his revenge, though.
Me too.
Yeah. His revenge is living, I think.
I know, but still.
It's like sweet justice.
You thought you were going to kill me. I'm here to end you now.
Yeah. Reverse Uno, bitch.
Mm-hmm. reverse. I don't know what I just did, but now I have sound on both ears.
Oh, you fixed it. Okay. Oh, man.
Maybe I knocked it over my mic and it worked.
Maybe it was just like a messed up like wire. You had to bang it around to fix the connection.
I'm trying to fix mine. Man.
Okay. Up next. Caleb and Seth, Salem, break up before they ever become a thing.
Oh, unhinged. I like that. Like they burn bright.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote this in my feelings above, but I did end up saying it because I wanted to save it for this. I think Seth is going to die.
Oh, you know.
AKA, I want Seth to die.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not mad about that one, actually. Because someone has got to go. Like, look at the numbers. Someone has got to go. We can't have all, like, 7, 8 major players make it to the end.
Yeah, no, they all have to live. What if they kill off, like, what if they kill off Washer?
No.
I'd rather them kill off Seth than Washer.
Right? I didn't even like Washer, and I still want them to kill Seth over him.
That's because you don't like Seth.
I don't like Seth either.
I only started liking Seth, not even liking, tolerating him because I wanted Caleb to be happy. But I think Caleb could be content without Seth. Like, he loved. Bye-bye, puppy dog.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to lose any of the. I don't think.
Maybe. I can see in some unhinged way, Caleb and Seth sacrifice their magic to Darcy and Tori, and somehow go live out the rest of their lives as mortals in the mortal realm. Oh, like they give it up and they're like, we're doing this together the old fashioned way.
Oh, that would be cute. I would accept that. That would be cute.
Like you'd get the tragedy of them losing and the sacrifice and the mourning and the grieving all of that, but then you find out later in like the epilogue that they had like a wonderful life together. And, like, Seth went to go out for NASA so he can go explore the moon again or something ridiculous like that.
Go fuck the moon.
Those moon craters, am I right?
Did you guys end up reading Seth on the Moon?
I didn't read Seth on the Moon, no.
So ridiculous.
Okay. I'm going to save number 6 for last because I think that's the funniest one. Darius and Lance save the twins with their sidekick, Washer.
Oh, I like that. Like only their powers combined with Washer where he's got to do something like, we must don teeny weeny bikinis to be able to save them.
Yep.
He's like, I've had just the outfit for this occasion.
And he pulls out a tight little suit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
And Lance would be like, no, I'm absolutely not doing that. Like, sorry.
And then he's forced to
Darcy,
do it.
Darcy, it's been nice knowing you. But Darius would be like, no, we have to do it for them. And he would begrudgingly put it on.
He has to be like, he's one heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I feel like Washer is going to like shove his ass into Lance's face at some point when they're trying to save them.
Probably. Absolutely.
Oops, oh did I do that?
Oh, no.
Breathing in Leon having to breathe in his butt air.
You know, I don't is funny.
I was on the podcast earlier and I was dying laughing. The whistle.
The whistle. God, I love him. Like, I love him and I hate him.
Oh my gosh. So Seth finds one of the Zodiac stones and he thinks it's like a butt plug and tries to use it.
That is something Seth would do.
Exactly. Absolutely, he would do that.
You're like, oh, look at this shiny little rock. Oh, this is a nice butt looking
It's like it's a new toy.
Yeah, he absolutely would.
Can you imagine? And that's how they found it, because Seth's like, not Seth, Caleb is looking, you know, about to hook up with him. And he's like, wait,
what is this?
Is this what a Zodiac stone?
It's like, did you stick the Aries stone in your ass? This
trinket. I thought you would like it.
Oh my gosh. That would be something he does.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, as we know, Clyde is currently pretending to be Tori and Darcy. And I think he's going to eat a piece of the Kipling brothers cake that has been previously fucked. And then he eats it in front of everybody else. And that's how they realize he's not the twins.
That's the giveaway. I love that.
Because the twins would never, especially Tori, would never eat a cake that is in the vicinity of a Kipling.
I like that.
It's very true. This is true.
That's the giveaway. I like it. Bridget, these were great. These were all great ones.
And it's just like the – it's a little unhinged but also very believable where the twisted sisters could possibly put anything in there.
They gave us Chip Chop Pube. The world is our oyster, okay?
Exactly.
I'm still not over Chip Chop Pube.
Gosh. We're just dropping clips. But like the imagination that goes into that is truly amazing. Awe-inspiring, worrisome, and amazing.
Of all the ridiculous scenes that they've created. Oh, I'm going to miss this series.
I can't wait to see like what the – like I feel like every couple of books they have one really funny moment.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the darkness. And I really wonder what it's going to be this book.
Xavier showing up with his Jacob's ladder and he's like, look.
And but they already did that. Like,
I'm saying just him doing that and he stumbles across a murder scene.
Like, someone just died.
And Catalina's like, oh, that's so nice, honey. So proud of you.
Also, Lance and his like majorly large balls. Do you not remember
that? It was Gabriel's.
Oh, yes, Gabriel. But Lance was there helping him because it was Gabriel's cookies or something. Sweet.
It was Lance's protein balls. Gabriel ate them all, and then he had massive balls. But that was from Ruthless Boys. That was not in.
But still, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, the ridiculous, funny shit that they added.
It was Gabriel's overgrown pube, the pube forest.
Oh, yes. And they're like makeshift class.
Just like going to like the ceiling.
And they have to like chop it off with like
machete it.
Right. Like I imagine them like slicing through the jungle. Like, we must get out. Yeah. Oh
my God.
A hand reaches out through the dark hair.
Yo.
I'm sorry, but I'm not. I'm not sorry. They gave it to us. They gave that to us.
Tyler and his Facebook posts.
Oh, yeah. You know, I am still a little mad we didn't get like a – like Caitlin, Bridget, and Hilda have liked this post. You know?
We're small fish and they're very big pond.
Yeah.
It's true. We did interview them, so not to flex, but we did.
It's a very popular interview.
It was.
We should interview them again once it's over.
Yes.
One last farewell. As we go on, we remember all the chip chop pubes that you
had together. I don't know the rest of that song, otherwise I could have kept going, but absolutely. All right, so let me share my predictions. They're not as unhinged, but Bridget's ears are great. I think Darius will be the one to end Lionel in that sweet poetic justice. I think Gabe will be the first one to realize something is off about the twins when they / Clyde come back. I think they'll do something like, kind of to your point, Bridget, where like they'll eat the cake I don't know if they'll eat the cake, but there'll be something that is like a telltale, not a twin thing too. Like right. Tori will say thanks and everyone will be like,
what?
What?
Manners? Yeah, no. It'll you probably have be
manners?
Like, it'll be like Darius is like, our heartbeat is not synced up.
I mean, that's probably how
realistically, it'll be. That's probably what it's going to be. But yeah. Also, you have manners? Yeah. It's better.
I did forget a lot of people's names in this, and I said Darcy will rule
the nymphs.
Yeah, the nymphs. Except I wrote tree people because I couldn't remember.
And you wrote tree people in my head. I went Groot.
Yes, Groot. He's also described as the Groots of the world, the tree people, the nymphs. And you know what's funny? Because I was going through this, I'm like, my brain kept going like Tonks. Like Tonks? They're not Tonks.
Tonks? Were you thinking of it's Alice?
It's Tonks, Nymphadora, Tonks, they're nymphs.
I do the same thing. I do the same exact thing.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's not right. It doesn't start with a T. They're tree people. So that's what I wrote. Tori, Darcy will rule the tree people. And then I have Tori will rule Solaria since she led the armies against Lionel. And like that's what everyone knows. So that's how they will split their ruling. I said Clyde will meet his end in an Avengers Endgame get together where all of the powerful, like they all come through and like they're all like in a triangle and they're all like linking up arms and in front of them to like do some Care Bear stare layer of like power elements. That's what I think will happen.
Care Bear.
Care Bear
stare. Care Bear stare.
I think Washer pulls a Snape. And was actually the old school BFF of Hale and protected the twins at all costs. And the only way he could get close to them was to be super pervy.
Ew. Like
that was his disguise.
Oh, God.
Anytime he'd be like, please wear this like bikini because like I've betwixt it or like spelled it. So it'll like repel harm from you. Like
he's
anytime
actually a normal person.
Yes. And he'd be like, whoa, thank God I could drop this facade. And everyone's like, whoa, Brian Washer. Get it now. I think they will be an unfortunate incident with a cake and a Kipling brother. Now again, I could not remember the name of these brothers. I just texted the group. What's the name of the siblings that fucked a cake? And the if Kiplings. You know, you know. Yeah,
it's because there's an actual. I remember because there's a brand called Kipling that sells sweets.
Oh,
yeah, in England.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That is hilarious.
I don't think we ever learned their names. It's like Middle Kipling. Middle Kipling is the cake.
Middle Kipling. Yeah.
In my head, they're like Ed and Eddie.
Yeah. Yes. They are. That's hilarious. That's a sweets company in England. That's like naming like them like the Hostess Brothers, you know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Kipling is their version of the Hostess, I guess.
Yeah.
Our Little Debbie Brothers.
We got our Ding Dongs, our Zebra Cakes.
The Little Debbies. Little Debbies. Deb and Debbie.
Yeah, there we go. And my final prediction, I think Leon accidentally brutally kills, and I cannot remember his name. I just called him the
Bard.
Bard. Thank you. I called him the One-Eyed Cyclops. Bard. I think Leon will brutally accidentally kill Vard, who works for Lionel, and it'll be completely LOL worthy, but very gruesome. Like, he'd be like, guys, I find this spike chain mail, and like runs, trips, falls into Vard, who turned a corner, and it's like he's impaled in the wall, and everyone's like, oh shit.
He's like, oops.
Yeah, he's like, my bad. He was a bad guy though, right? And everyone's like, yeah, and he's like, rock on. Look at this cool armor I just found. Like, that's what
that is such a Leon move.
It really is.
Do I know my man or do I know my man?
Why did this just remind me of like Geraldine and her eye scooper?
I know, I was thinking about that earlier.
Her melon baller of justice or whatever she called it.
Oh God. You guys did a really good job. Mine are very lame. I also think Darius will kill Lionel. Darcy and Lance will kill Lavinia. Again, it's just like the people that need to get their payback, get their payback.
Yeah.
Saleb finally confessed their feelings before 75%.
Oh, ooh. God. One can hope. Okay. I can really hope.
I think that they are going to drag that out for as long as possible.
I think so as well.
I think it's a joke at this point.
they have the emotional maturity of, I don't know, a cucumber. So the epilogues are going to have tons of kids.
Oh, mm-hmm. I really want some.
I really hope Lance and Darcy have a little vampire baby that's also sassy.
I want them to have baby girls, but I want Tori to have like five boys. Something absolutely ridiculous where she's like, look at this gay I got back over here.
Even Washer gets a happy ending. I don't know what that will be, but I'm sure
Washer has
one.
Had many happy endings in his life.
Plenty. I'm surprised his room isn't sticky the entire time, that little perv.
Even if it's just with a latex bodysuit, I want him to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
And then
I feel like we need to get that man a blow-up doll.
I'm sure he's got several.
He's the one that came with all like the Darius dongs.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
Strange man.
Talk about getting ding dong dicked. That's right. The guy who's going to do it to you.
Classic.
And then the truth of Honey High Spell, because that bitch is still.
Now, this is a good one. I forgot about this mystery.
I totally forgot about her too.
I had an unhinged theory that Honey High Spell is Washer. Washer is Honey High Spell.
Ooh.
Had that crazy idea at some point too. But no.
Finkel Honey High Spell. Einhorn is Finkel. The classic Ace Ventura switcheroo.
She's definitely wearing like some locket thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is, I don't know, casting some type of illusion.
Yes. It's like, which is her true form? Is the true form Brian Washer? Or is the true form Honey High Spell?
I thought it was – I actually had the same thought, but I thought it was Vard who's playing Honey High Spell. Because, you know, Vard is up to some kinky, weird experiment shit.
But, like, I don't want him to look good by doing – because I was like, oh, who's that hottie at the school?
Yeah, but it's all an illusion.
Of course it is.
Interesting.
I forgot about the Honey High Spell mystery. Okay, I'm glad. I hope we get this resolved. I'm sure it'll be a good reveal.
So there's all
– I'm kind of excited again now, guys.
There's a lot of loose ends to tie up. So, okay, this is why it's 1,276 pages.
We got three bad guys to take out, plus Shadow Baby Therix. Therix?
Therix. Technically, there's five bad guys because you have
five enemies of the state.
You have Lionel, you have Lavinia, you have Clyde, you have Therix, and you have Vard.
Okay, but which of those are like the bad guys and which ones are the henchmen?
What's the name of this asshole? Mildred?
Is she dead? I was just thinking about her. I was like,
Mildredful? No, she's not dead. She's still kicking.
I hope Tori torches that bitch.
Jerry needs to kick her ass for Angelica.
Yes. I don't know that I want Mildred to die. I want her to have some kind of like long-term justice that she's got to serve out. Like she's got to be the new chief sanitation officer at Darkmoor or something. Like she's in a lifetime of servitude now that she has to do of like cleaning up other people's messes, and she was so quick to bestow messes up, like messy everything up. Yeah,
I hope she becomes like Tori's stool when she's sitting on her throne, like for her foot. Like I just want her to be a permanent stool, like Mildred down. And she just has to like bend over and become a stool so that Tori can rest her feet.
Oh, but that would be such an ugly stool.
It would be an eyesore. But I guess her mustache would maybe help blend in with like the carpet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mildredful.
I think they can like, if they can cast an illusion on the ugly dresses that Geraldine made for Tori and Darcy, so the public saw something really nice. They can make an illusion for her. So the public just
sees like an overplump footstool.
Right. A poof, if you will.
A poof.
We have not brought up Kylie.
Oh, I forgot about her.
Do we like her? Do we hate her? I think I hate her still.
No, we hate that bitch still.
Okay. I didn't know if she did anything to redeem herself.
No, I don't think she did.
She hasn't. She needs
what justice do I want
Wait,
served
no,
upon,
didn't
Kylie?
She do something with Milton while they're at the school?
Like, no, that was Marguerite.
Marguerite.
Right, because I remember Milton had like his cow herd and they were mooing a lot. I remember that.
Bernice is his heifer.
Bernice. I'm like, what is the name of the poor girl that he's attracted to?
He tried to fuck that heifer for real.
For real. And her name is Bernice. Like, no disrespect round to Bernice's, but I just feel like.
Round cow down.
You know, it's so funny. In our recording for the last book, he did the same exact thing. Long live brown cow down.
Oh, gosh. You know, they really brought us some good LOLs. Some real strong LOLs.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
They have to after all the torment and trauma they put us through.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did they
ever. We can only just laugh through the pain at this point.
We have to laugh through the pain. And they give us a good setup a lot of times.
Yeah. That's good. I'm really excited. I did peek into the group briefly, and someone said I had an arc. And let me just tell you, it is perfect. And I was like, okay, faith is redeamed.
See, I didn't even want to know. See, I don't even want to know. I just want to show up, start reading the book with nothing in my head.
Yeah.
Because you know what really messed me up? I think the last one, or maybe it was 7, where people kept talking about like how bad the ending was.
Yeah.
And I put off reading that book for so long.
Yeah, because everyone's like, when I you get cannot... to what was like 80%, 81?
90%. 90%.
Yeah, very specific percentage. When you got there, it was all downhill. I was like, I don't want to do that. This book is like 900 pages. I don't want to read.
I know, it took me so long of to finish it.
Before I get to like the sad part.
Book 7,
that was a
man.
Christmas. That was a Christmas. They did us dirty with
and
that.
It was at Christmas. That was – they did do us dirty.
The last two ones were at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hello, we already have seasonal depression. Like, why add more?
At least last one wasn't that bad. That last one, it was frustrating because of the Clyde thing. And, like, you got this late introduction.
Right. And I don't – I if I'm remembering correctly, I feel like we had movement – in the storyline, but it wasn't enough to propel us.
It was a lot of the book was Tori figuring out what it was that she was going to do.
Right.
And she went down this whole, like, I don't want to say side quest.
But she literally had to heal her inner child to get across the veil to him.
Yeah, no, it was a lot.
Oh my God, do you guys remember like that weird three witches?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember.
Scene. Wow.
It's like you wanted to like it, but you didn't. I didn't.
It was so sad.
Yeah.
But then in Beyond the Veil, we find out that he was actually there. So I guess it made it a little better. A little better.
It was like a That's What I Call Music Now, like 72 greatest hits of their sex scenes. But we had to relive it.
They had a lot of sex.
Good for them. God bless. There were some new ones we were privy to, but again, it was weird because we had the three witches watching, and I was like,
ugh. Yeah, yeah, oh, it was weird.
Like, get out of here. No, yeah, so there's no looky loos.
There's quite a bit for them to wrap up, but.
Oh, speaking of loos, what about Cindy Lou?
Oh, Cindy Lou.
Well, she's from RB and she's in prison.
Maybe we'll see her in Darkmoor.
Well, she also made a cameo in this series. That's why I brought her up.
Yeah,
because she
was stalking Darius, but she was stalking Darius, she got sent to prison.
Yeah,
maybe like an old like Ethan Shadowbrook reunion. Like, I know you. Oh, I love
Ethan.
I can't wait for them to wrap up Darkmoor so we can actually read it.
Because I haven't read it yet.
Me either.
I didn't finish the last book that's out because I heard that the cliffhanger was brutal, and I don't know when they're gonna finally release the fourth book, so I kind of like put it on pause, but it was an interesting series. It was fun.
Maybe I'm sure they had to finish this before they could get to that, because they kept extending this, you couldn't get back to that.
Yeah, because we love Rosalie. She's badass.
Yeah, Rosalie, forgot about her. She's all knowing. She's like a little,
she's a moon wolf.
Yeah, it's like a little moon pup. All right, well, I think those are our thoughts, theories, and unhinged predictions, which I was not influenced by anyone because it came quick to the brain. Because, again, it's a why not, this book. Why not could you have something absolutely insane happen? It will, probably.
For all you know, the moon could crash into the universe or the earth, and Seth could get really excited and try to fuck the moon on planet Earth. Ooh, that is wild.
Yeah.
This was a really fun trip down memory lane.
It was.
It was.
It was. And it made me more excited because I started the book. I started this with like trepidation. I was like, I don't want to get into the Hofast bubble we were in where we were so excited. And I was like, let me just pull back a little bit in the excitement and just sit with this for a little bit. And like, here's where we are. This is what we remember. Here's some things we think are going to happen. But I got to say, I'm more excited now that we've gone down memory lane with this.
I know. I felt like I had more fun writing the predictions than I did for Hosaf because I was just like, I'm pretend I'm Caroline and Suzanne and I'm going to write the most craziest things.
Craziest thing that can happen.
Because it still might happen.
I think the two things I want to happen most are Shadow Baby to attack or Shadow Beast to take down Shadow Baby. And I really want Lionel to kill – I really want Leon to kill someone important in a very clumsily dramatic gruesome way.
That would be awesome.
Oops. Yeah, like, oh, my bad.
What if
he like puts like his Shadow Baby back to his head or something. He's like,
I can see him doing normal. He's like, my buddy my bad buddy, here you go. All done. All fixed.
Like tap, tap, and like his head falls off. And they're like,
ooh.
I'm just going to put this back.
Be like, Gabe, look what I did.
Gabe! Ryder, can you fix this, Carson? Make it go away. Oh, gosh. Okay, so I'm more excited. I'm more excited. All right, guys, that is it from us tonight. We hope you enjoyed this trip down memory lane for us as we get ready to dive into the final, which I even feel sad saying, the final book in Zodiac Academy.
Oh, my God. You're going to make me cry.
Am I? I was trying to suppress a burp.
She's a classy lady.
Yeah. That's just like if I sounded weird then it was just because.
It did sound like you're about to like.
Right. It did sound like I was about to get all verklempt, but I just didn't want to, you know, keep it classy. Yeah. So it's the final book in Zodiac Academy. And safe to say, I think we're all excited to see where this adventure takes us, although it'll probably take us forever to read. And we definitely anticipate this splitting up into at least two episodes because,
yeah.
My God.
We originally thought two, but we think three. It might be three.
It's probably going to be three because even two is 600 pages.
It's a lot.
And I think we've said in every Zodiac Academy ever that much happens. Exactly.
I also think we might take a little bit longer to read this because we're soaking it all
in. We're savoring it. I'm not plowing through.
Yeah. Hilda will because
– I might plow through but then go back.
Hilda will go on like a 48-hour bender and we won't hear from her again. And then she'll be like, my eyes are blushing. She's like, I've read it. I'm done.
And then she restarts it immediately.
Yeah. Probably, she's like, now what did I actually read? As I'm on like page 230. But we are excited, and if you guys have been longtime listeners of ours, or either you've read the books or you've been along with us on this journey, I know there's some of you who have not read but just have heard from the stories as we go through all of them all, I'm sure you join us in saying we're excited to see where this takes us and the final chapter of the Zodiac Academy series. Well, Hilda looks like she's about to cry, so I guess this is the appropriate time for us to end. So from us tonight, we say goodnight and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.